It is Friday morning, May the 15th. Joining us in the studio is Brian, and joining us remotely is Karen from the city of Arcata.
Dun, da, da.
Good morning.
Morning, Karen. All right, Winston's handling the why do we say that chores right now, so just because he doesn't want to give up the power to me now that I'm back.
I know,
it's
intoxicating.
Yeah. All righty, so stump us.
Post-haste. Why do we use post-haste to mean as fast as possible?
Because that's what the Postal Department did early on.
It was in London? In Britain?
I don't know.
Overseas?
Yeah.
Hello, Winston.
Because back in the days when all travel was done by horse, traveling by post, that is, by public coach, was faster than traveling by private carriage. The owner of a private vehicle had to stop to rest his horses, but post horses were used in relays and the coach kept on rolling.
Oh, so kind of like Pony Express for people in the Middle Ages. Okay, that's cool.
Of the 16th century.
Well, now, I've never been inside a carriage, like being royalty. Have you, Karen?
No, we share that experience in common, or that lack of experience in common.
So there is no royalty in Arcata.
There's a lot of royalty in Arcata.
Okay. So this should be graduation Friday, right?
Yeah, this should be graduation Friday. And it is. I mean, and I have to say it is graduation Friday to all the graduates who have worked so hard over, you know, a pretty trying, quick transition to this virtual education. Congratulations and kudos to pulling it off, to the professors that made it happen and getting everything in and T's crossed. There are very excited graduates that are out there. Certainly the town doesn't have the buzz that we normally do on graduation weekend. And from an economic standpoint, you know, the loss of those families and the events and the restaurants being full and the hotels being full will be felt for this whole next year. But we do still want to congratulate our graduates for their hard work. And wish them well and hope that, you know, that they actually stay in Arcata and open those new entrepreneurial businesses that come out of this COVID-19 experience.
Now, the state chancellor had said something about keeping all the state universities and colleges closed, or virtual learning, however it was phrased, for the first semester this fall. Is that a lockdown guarantee, or is that still something that is up for discussion?
We are working with the university, the city's working with the university, and we're consulting with County Public Health about whether a hybrid approach, which will be modeled similar, you know, I mean, CR is mostly residential education, right? And Humboldt, but, you know, we're working with both university institutions to say, is there some hybrid learning that could occur on campus as well as, you know, a majority of traditional just lecture classes will be in a virtual education mode. But for lab and hands-on learning experience, which Humboldt is so well known for, we are looking at trying to develop a plan that will be submitted for the Chancellor's review to see if there would be some level of education here. What we've experienced is a lot of students, when Humboldt went to virtual education in March, a lot of students stayed in Humboldt County, I think more than we expected. So a lot of those students are still here, but we would also have to be returning some students, and that really would be kind of a privilege that is not going to be afforded to a lot of students throughout the state, as so many of the university institutions will be 100% virtual. But if we can put really stringent protocols in place, to bring students back, to isolate, to check, and work within, you know, our local business community, to have good practices in place, to have safe reopening of additional commerce. We think that Humboldt County is the type of community that could provide some sort of hybrid this year. So we are working to see if we have a plan that we feel comfortable submitting to the Chancellor for review. But there's no guarantees of that at this point. You know,
the fact
but
that
there's a lot of will.
there's as much dormitory space at Humboldt. You know, some of them are commuter campuses more than Humboldt. Does that provide a chance to kind of do the isolation thing, or to keep all the students on campus that are, I guess, would be in that hybrid mode?
Well, it does. Yeah, we are not a commuter. We are a residential campus here at Humboldt, you know, with 80 to 85% of our student population that didn't go to a local high school in Humboldt County, right? But what I have to say is that a lot of those students that move here by their second and third year, they really do stay in Humboldt or in the Arcata-McKinleyville-Eureka area even year-round. So, yes, there would be, you know, most of those students that would be returning to the Humboldt County area would be housed on campus, or at least during the quarantine period would have that occur on campus. But, you know, a lot of those students that I think really could return to some of the hands-on learning are students that have stayed here and will stay here through the whole summer.
What do you have any idea what the capacity of the dorms are, or how many rooms there are?
Yeah, they're just about 2,000 beds.
Okay, so presuming one per bed,
mm-hmm. Right.
That gives you, what, about a third of what the student enrollment was this year, or projected to be for the coming year?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right around 6,000. Yeah.
Okay. So that's not quite as large, but it certainly would keep people isolated. Now, with the little bit of a bump that we had with the positive testing this past week or so, it seemed, I think I read something in one of those press releases, that it was kind of traceable to one group of people. So I think that there might be a real strong argument to say, you know, if we eliminated three group contacts, we're almost like Modoc County with a goose egg. Do you think that would give the chancellor a little bit more cause to reflect and possibly treat Humboldt different than some of the other schools?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that our real low caseload and the ability that this county has proven that we can do good contact tracing, that we have really good testing in place, that we have the ability to respond and basically limit the spread once we have a known source. I think all of those things in the rural nature of Humboldt makes it very unique in the CSU system in particular. There are a couple other campuses, and I'm assuming those campuses are looking at sort of a similar hybrid model. But, you know, most of the CSU campuses are in very urban settings. Humboldt is very unique in the system. And it is our hope, you know, that the chancellor would look at the uniqueness of Humboldt and the rural application and the effect, the impact on the economy that Humboldt plays in Arcata and the entire Humboldt Bay region.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Karen Diemer, Arcata City Manager. Karen, what's the overall climate like right now in Arcata? Are people, you know, your staff, folks on the street, those that are on the street, has malaise set in? Has fatigue set in? Is there excitement because you know, there seems to be a little bit of a lifting of the clouds, so to speak? What kind of sense do you have out on Main Street, so to speak?
Yeah, I think there's a little sense of hope. There's that little ray of light that's coming in right now as businesses start to put their business plans together for reopening and submit those to the county for review. I think yesterday people were really excited to hear that Humboldt County had received the state variance to allow local reopening as we deem it safe here in Humboldt County. recognizing that, you know, we did have a little bump in cases this week, and so we do need to continue to proceed slowly, you know, under the county health directors and health officials, orders and guidance. But I think businesses here are excited. A lot of them are getting their plans in. Those first certifications have already gone out this week for businesses. So if businesses aren't aware, they can jump onto the Humboldt County website and submit a plan to reopen that demonstrates that your business is ready to operate safely with social distancing protective measures in place, both for your employees, yourself, and your customers. And then once you receive that compliance, you'll also be receiving information about when your specific business type is authorized to be reopened.
Now, that's for those
that were
closed, but what about for those that were already opened and functioning?
Yes, essential businesses also need to go through that certification plan. It is part of the governor's requirements as well. So Humboldt County has actually made this process very easy with their online portal to just submit right online. So, essential businesses, if you're already open, also work on getting your plans in. But definitely those that have not been able to open, get your plans in so you're ready to go. We've also received clearance to start putting plans in place for just general work offices and workspaces. So looking to bring people back into those work environments that safe social distancing can occur as well. So folks that operate office spaces ready to get their plans in should be submitting at Humboldt County's website.
What about for your staff? You know, how are you guys handling inside the building, and then for those you're fortunate enough, a lot of your folks are outside, whether they're working in the parks or on the streets or that kind of stuff. How are they holding up?
It's been amazing how much work has actually continued to flow in, and that also gives us, you know, a little bit of insight in a positive sense. We've had building permits, people submitting for secondary units. We've got our two largest building permits that we've seen in probably a decade that have just come in working on the Open Door Clinic and then what we call the Isaacson's Affordable Housing Development. So there's actually been a lot of work for city staff during this COVID period, with the exception of those that typically operate in, say, recreation programs that have been shut down. But then overall, you know, honestly, there is some apprehension right now. Our sales tax economic loss from COVID is going to be tremendous on local governments. We are currently putting together our budgets and are looking at a range of 30%, 45%, and 60% decrease scenarios for sales tax, and then looking at our TOT or our bed tax on hotels. And we have three scenarios based on sort of when real shelter-in-place orders will be lifted for hotels and assuming that, you know, they're only getting about 10% occupancy during the shelter-in-place, about 50% of their occupancy once they're allowed to open for 6 months, and then they'll be back to about 75% occupancy for the remainder of the year. So those two taxes, sales tax and bed tax for local governments, make up a tremendous amount of our general fund. So we'll be presenting three different scenarios to the council within the next few weeks, and that certainly has all of us worried about the level of service that we'll be able to continue to provide for the community.
Are you getting any indications out of the state what they're anticipating or doing or planning? Because it seems, you know, going back in the Wayback Machine, anytime that there's any economic challenge, the state will basically play Olay defense, pass through the cost and the responsibilities to the local lowest jurisdiction so that they can claim that they have a balanced budget. Are you hearing that there's going to be any of those kind of shenanigans going on also?
What we've seen, so the governor just came out with what we call the May revise of the state's budget just yesterday. And so as we've slowly started to pour through that, what I will say, it appears at first glance that the state is not making clawbacks into existing local government revenues, right, which is what you're referring to.
Right.
But what it also appears is that, you know, they're still making very little money available to cities, especially those that have less than 300,000 residents, in terms of any relief from loss of revenue due to the COVID emergency. It also appears that they have made, you know, huge reductions in the statewide budget overall. So we're waiting to see on what those reduced allocations for cities might look like in terms of gas tax estimates and in terms of transportation dollar estimates that typically come from the state to the cities.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:30. Hi, this is Brian Papstein. This afternoon, Humboldt County Health Officer Teresa Fankovic is having a press conference and will be announcing the formalization of our current practices, formerly referenced as shelter in place. What does this mean? How does it impact you? Find out as we will be talking with Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel this afternoon. Stay tuned here in the 4 o'clock hour. You'll be able to hear that interview in its entirety, and we'll have it on our website later this afternoon. Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Arcata City Manager Karen Diemer. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite Pest Control, along with Murphy's Markets. Karen, some of the different things that are out there. You've got funding from the feds. You've got funding from the state. You've got special grants and special districts. You've got the local sales tax revenues that you were referencing also. Are all of those various funding silos, I guess, or streams, are they all being impacted roughly at the same, to the same extent, or are you seeing some variances in there?
Yeah, no, a lot of variance in there. You know, sales tax and TOT or bed tax being hit the hardest for sure because of the shutdown, right? Property taxes probably being affected the least. We do have also delay payments in taxes. So some of our budgeting this year is just figuring out, like on sales tax, the governor has two sales tax programs available for local businesses, which is excellent, to delay the payment of their sales tax during this period. So we also recognize that we might get some of those revenues in slowly over the course of the next fiscal year that should have come in either May 31st or July 31st to the city.
There's a risk associated with that, isn't there? I mean, if I'm that on the edge that I can't pay through or pass through the sales tax collected, and then it compounds and compounds, you know, you guys are out the cash flow, but then the business operator is looking at a huger amount to send to the state, or is it just being forgiven?
No, it's not being forgiven. The sales tax deferral programs are not being forgiven, but, you know, it's our hope that our businesses simply stay in business and can ride through this some way, somehow. So if a delay in payment allows them another 6 or 12 months to get back on their feet versus having to completely close their doors, I think the state recognizes that they want to try to give the businesses that chance.
Will there be a payment plan kind of thing instead of one lump sum that's due? Is that how it's set
up? Yeah, so if you qualify for a full year of deferral, then basically starting July 1st, whatever the amount of that owed sales tax was is divided by 12, and you basically get a no-interest loan that's paid 1/12 every month for that year. Yeah. And then we have other revenues that certainly sustain the city for services we provide, mostly utilities, water and sewer, and garbage. And so those funds, you know, certainly we're seeing some downturn in use because our businesses are not operating, and Humboldt State University has been in virtual mode, so we've got some reductions in water and sewer. And then we're certainly budgeting in some uncollectability, the ability for all individuals to pay their bills. You know, we will continue to work on that collection process and also put people on payment plans. But we recognize that we'll have some loss in revenue as a result of that as well.
It kind of sounds like business plans being developed rather than budgets. Business plans. Is that something that's rare for cities and governmental jurisdictions to be considering some of these different choices and different options? If you were in a significant growth pattern, okay, you'd probably be looking at this kind of scenario. Or if you were in an area not as severe as Paradise, but let's say a place that's seeing shrinkage in population, you'd be doing the same thing. There's got to be some templates that are out there for you guys to be able to reference along these lines.
There's a lot of state organizations that are releasing templates. This is very uncharted territories. We've been through a lot of economic downturns in local government, and in all sectors of the economy. But this particular emergency where literally revenues just fell out instantly, one day we were open, one day we were closed, is something that none of us working in local government have experienced before. So we are wading through, and there are a ton of templates that are coming out from state professional organizations. There are a lot of firms, accountant firms, law firms that are doing a ton of sort of pro bono work on behalf of local governments to try to assist. But I think in the end, what we've realized is that every single community is very unique. For Arcata, we have to take into consideration the impacts of the university, both positive and, in this case, impacts that they're going to have by probably not returning certainly as many students as they typically do in a year. So we do need to look very site-specific. So we have been reaching out to a lot of our businesses to try to understand on the ground what's happening in Arcata, which tends to be unique city to city.
That's why I was wondering if you had had an advisory group, ad hoc one for this, or some representatives out of the business community, around the plaza, not around the plaza, Northtown, et cetera, to really get a good feel on what's going on, or if you're doing a lot of walking and just visiting people and finding out what their scenarios are and what they're looking at.
Yeah, we're doing some walking, but we're doing a lot of calling because we're finding that, even businesses that are operational, they're in the back of their business. They're not out front anymore.
Right.
Yeah. But we've been doing a lot of outreach to say, one week we'll be looking at, okay, are hotels really down 80% or 90%? Are any of them going to pay their bed tax this month, or are they all going to be deferring? Do we already need to start working with you on a payment plan so that we can get you to pay 10% of what you owe, that you're not, behind by 100% in 2 months? So, we're doing, we're a small enough town that we can do a lot of that outreach, and we're certainly doing that right now.
Yeah, I would think the proactive nature really helps out, and the size. I can't imagine, somebody like a Santa Rosa. Okay, yeah, you got more staff, but you don't know anybody, not like you do here locally, and you can call up five or six folks that and they're on your telephone. You can call them and say, how's it going, Bob? Okay, and get a fairly good read on what to anticipate in that entire niche across the board, and just make a couple phone calls every week and just kind of keep it going and find out if there are some things that you guys can do to help out or if there's just stuff that you need to know.
Yeah, we revamped. We have a website, visitarcata.com, and obviously tourism is low. And so we revamped that website to just list all the local businesses that are open during the COVID period so that people can jump on and see who's serving takeout meals or who's providing essential services. And we'll try to continue to keep that updated as more and more businesses come back online.
Right. It's amazing. You start out with that and then things start changing. And then as folks... their life changes, they forget to make the contact, and now all of a sudden you're accused of not keeping things current because
there's so much going on. I mean, people, even though there's this kind of quietness amongst around the town, there still is a lot of work that's being done behind the scenes to keep things going. I do, when I usually head out of the office, in the evening and at least do a loop around the city, and I have seen this week more and more small lines that are forming for takeout at our restaurants, so that indicates kind of a good sign to me as well that people are starting to feel comfortable with the safety protocols that are in place, and still have some discretionary income to go out and pick out, take up.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, and I think everybody, one of the cool things I think is everybody's recognizing what the role of local small business means, and that might be one of those niceties that come out of this whole situation. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Karen Diemer. So, Karen, we've got Memorial Day weekend coming up, kind of the unofficial start of summer. We've got the weather seemingly to be cooperative that way. Is Arcata pretty much, are you guys just going to be holding your breath, hoping, anticipating that we'll start to see some of the tourist activity once the state relaxes, or are you thinking that maybe tourism is going to be redefined and it's going to be Southern Humboldt coming to Northern Humboldt, Northern Humboldt going to Eastern Humboldt, and Eastern coming to the coast?
I expect that we'll see, you know, hopefully open up enough throughout the summer to see some local travel. At least in our budget predictions, we are not looking, just kind of trying to figure out even what consumer patterns might be, you know, for a period of time, even if shelter-in-place orders are lifted. You know, we're anticipating some regional travel. But, you know, at this point, we're doing scenarios for basically at least shelter in place for travel for through July 1st, October 1st, and January 1st from a budgetary standpoint.
Yeah, the August 1st one, I think, would probably be kind of tough to do because, you know, with the kids coming back to school, if it opens up, that really is going to complicate things if you know, parents aren't allowed to drive their kids to school, or the kids aren't able to drive to school. So I suppose that a lot of it's going to be in the details and the definitions of some of the terminology and as we're moving through this quicksand to find out really what, not the intent is, but the actual practical application of what is being told.
Right, and how much of that can we control? I mean, we don't actually control travel in and out of the county right now, right, on state and federal highways. So, you know, there is some still free movement through the country. But in terms of, you know, trying to relocate students back, we can put protocols and systems in place to assist those students and families' abilities to self-isolate while they're here and to safely navigate the campus while they're here, even if that's, you know, providing all food on campus, that they're not off campus for food, even with families, right? There's a number of things that we can do to limit that risk for the community. So that's the planning that we're looking at right now, and hopefully within, you know, the next month, we'll have something finalized and reviewed.
Well, it would be nice if we got a little bit more clarity, kind of like day by day, you know, just kind of see the fog bank clear off. So hopefully it'll be sunny and clear in Arcata by about 2:00 this afternoon so you can have that clarity.
I hope so, and then come out and enjoy the farmer's market tomorrow morning on the plaza.
There you go. And of course, you want to take your radio along so you can still be with us on the shopping show. Thanks for coming
there
by, Karen. Enjoy
hey,
your
hey.
Weekend. Bye-bye. See us on Monday.